we've got three sessions left. Obviously, I think any of the guys that have been with us all day long, you know that every single session has been fire, but it's also been super practical, right? And then we've got the implementation day tomorrow. In these last three sessions, we're going to be talking about how to wow your guests when you follow up with them. I think this is huge. You know, one of the sessions earlier talking about that, that woman who was like, oh my gosh, I've never had a pastor and his wife follow up with me personally. I have to go back. Right. That's what we want. That wow factor. We want that with every single guest. So we're going to talk about that here in our next session. We're also going to talk about how to avoid tragic automation mistakes. Right. The kind of stuff that can keep people away from your church. Right. So you definitely want to take notes on that section. Right. And stick around for that. And then finally, our last session of the day, we're going to talk about how to implement a follow up plan that is going to achieve an 85% guest return rate. Okay, so I don't know about you guys. I'm personally going to be taking notes on that one. I'm super excited. So stick around. We've got some great sessions coming up for you guys.
So this next session, Blake Sebastian, I believe it's Church of Down Oklahoma City. Is that right? Am I thinking of the right Blake? This is an incredible session. Sabiston. Okay, well, Blake, I butchered your name for years now. So I apologize about that. That's my public fears, butchering names on camera. So there you go. Welcome, everybody. Blake's, I'm just going to call you Pastor Blake. Session is amazing. I think you guys are going to love this. Let's jump into Blake's session. Here we go.
My wife, Jenny, and I have three boys. Riker is 7, Rhett is 5 in just a few weeks, and Riggs is 3. One day, about a year ago, after dropping Riker off at school, it was just Rhett and I, and we had what we call dude day. So I thought it'd be fun to run to Target and let him pick out a toy or some activity that we could do together. We roamed the aisles and he found the Lego section. We moved to the Duplos, age appropriate, of course, and he picked out the Jurassic World T-Rex Tower. We got home and he immediately began tearing open the box. So I got on the floor with him and we began to build and played, and this entertained him until nap time. Well, this entertained both of us. After nap time, it was time to pick Riker up from school. Rhett asked if he could take the Duplo car, the T-Rex, and Owen Grady. And I said, sure. We loaded up and left. But when we got back, Owen Grady was gone. Now, who is Owen Grady? He's the dinosaur researcher from Jurassic Park, which Rhett has not seen the movie. That would be bad parenting. But Owen to Rhett is the T-Rex's daddy, and he had disappeared. So this great fun Dad Wins Lego set is ruined, according to my then 4-year-old. So I do what any good dad does, and I Google. Google shows that there is no way to replace Owen Grady without buying an entire new set, because it's collectible, themed, and from a movie franchise. They cannot sell me just Owen Grady. I decided to take a chance and call the 800 number on the Lego website. We've all had bad customer experiences, haven't we? What happened when I called Lego surprised me, though. It was just the opposite. It was remarkable customer service. In the church, instead of calling it customer service, we would call this hospitality. And it's obvious that our hospitality must be remarkable during our worship services, but it's vital for that to continue throughout the week as we follow up with guests. And from that call to Lego, I learned that we, as the church, must do three things. One, we must harness the power of technology so each guest feels known and noticed. Two, we must harness the power of creativity so each guest says, wow. And three, we must harness the power of teamwork so each guest is loved. So, how can we harness the power of technology so each guest feels known and noticed? Well, throughout the conversation with the Lego associate, Katie, she remembered my son's name. She kept calling me by name. And while she was waiting for the computer to load information, she was asking about Oklahoma, my family, my job. And I know she was taking notes in her database. I could hear it while we talked. So what technology do you have at your disposal? What can you implement or start using? And at the end of the day, when the guest leaves, what do you have in place so they want to come back? Let me shoot you straight. We ditched our welcome letter and we ditched our cheap, branded, gimmicky gift. And maybe you should too. Now, why, you might be asking? Let's talk first about that letter from the senior pastor. Most snail mail today is getting thrown away. People know that your senior pastor did not type it up just for them. And it's obvious that the signature is fake. Even if it is real, did the letter even get opened in the first place? Now, what does that have to do with harnessing technology? Well, in a world of automation and dehumanization, the church needs to take hold of technological tools and resources and harness their power for the sake of the gospel and growing the kingdom one person at a time. Now, let me tell you a little bit more about what we did in place of that welcome letter. We began using Text in Church. Now we have an automated workflow that immediately recognizes a guest and sends them a text, an email, and it shows them that we notice them and that we know the time that they spent with us. Plus, it uses their first name, which makes them feel known. Everyone loves to hear or see their own name. The email has clickable links and contact information so they can reply or give us a call. And best of all, they can simply reply to the text message and reach a staff member with any question, concern, or clarification they need. So ditch that welcome letter. Utilize technology to communicate with your guests in a way they are already communicating and allow them to communicate with you too. We also started using a service called Calendly. It syncs with our calendars and allows for the guests to set up a time to talk to a pastor or staff member. In what we call Quick Connects, they can get an email or text that has a link to set up 20 minutes for a Zoom, Google, or phone call as an opportunity to meet with one of our teammates. Now, don't press the easy button. Don't get lazy. We have to leverage technology to obsess over people, not programs. We have to harness the power of it to build the kingdom. And let me say it again, one person at a time. Now, here's what you might be saying at this point. Okay, I get it. The welcome letter is outdated and you gave me a few bits of tech, but you're suggesting we don't give guests a gift either? Every church I have visited and received some sort of gift is now in a garbage dump at a Goodwill. Maybe it's floating in an ocean or at the bottom of a lake. It's definitely not in my house. Why? I visited that congregation once. I don't care to keep your branded mug, pin, fake Yeti, reusable cup, cinch bag, extra large leftover t-shirt, keychain, you name it. Why? It's impersonal. I don't know you and your community. Instead, I propose that we harness the power of creativity so each guest leaves you and says, wow, let me go back to Lego and my search for Owen Grady, the T-Rex's dad. With three boys under the age of 7, it's not like I'm a Lego collector or enthusiast yet. When I was on the phone with Katie, she treated me like I had stock in the company or like I was a longtime Lego collector. The time and attention she was giving me was shocking. And it really did make me question if I were doing the same thing for the guests I serve at Crossings Community Church. What I see too often is that we steal or workshop an idea from the church down the street. Or maybe we see an idea on another church's Instagram account and we try to duplicate it. Yes, I'm guilty. All too often, this ends up being inauthentic and our guests sniff it out a mile away. They can tell we are trying too hard to be something we aren't. I want for every guest that visits each of our churches to go, wow, I cannot believe that they, and then you fill in the blank. To do that though, you need to know your church culture, your church DNA, and your church's personality. What makes your community different? Erwin McManus says that you were created to be dangerously unique. And I say, so was your local church. Your community is unique. Let your guest follow-up gift be one that is a great continuing impression of your hospitality. Nothing says warmth, welcoming, feeling at home quite like a fresh baked batch of chocolate chip cookies. And even though Crossings is a larger church with multiple locations, we get feedback about how quickly our guests feel at home, how kind our people are, how helpful our staff is. So we decided to mail a dozen chocolate chip cookies to each first-time guest household. Not only that, we have it in a branded box that can be recycled or thrown away. And to really put the cherry on top, it has a small card on the inside that lets them know that one of our team members prayed for that guest before the box was sealed. What does that say to the guest? I imagine them saying, wow, they took that much time and energy to make sure I got these. They are sent with love, and it's a team of staff and volunteers that make it happen each week. One day, a teammate got a phone call, and it was a recent guest, and she said that she lost her job and came home to find a box from Crossings on her doorstep. She sat down, opened the box to find the cookies and a note from us. She sobbed, ate a cookie, and she let us know that it was perfect timing. It reminded her that God was with her no matter what, and that she would be back to Crossings that next Sunday. She also confessed that all the cookies were gone by the end of the night. Now, let me ask a few questions. What if you gave that branded mug to somebody who has given their time regularly to prepare coffee at the hospitality station? Or that branded keychain was given to a shuttle driver? Or the cinch bag was given to a kid in need in your congregation filled with school supplies as they go back to school this fall? What if you leave the branded gift for someone going the extra mile and get creative with what you give your guests? Can you imagine if you take a little time, think about how you could surprise your guests during the week and how you can set yourself apart not only from other churches, but businesses too? Jason Young, a good friend of mine and co-author of The Comeback Effect, once told me that people were not comparing our church with another church or with other churches. They were actually comparing their experience at our church against the experiences with other brands, companies, and organizations they interact with on a regular basis. Now, that is eye-opening. Church, let's get creative. And instead of brand loyalty, let's drive ourselves to help people become loyal to Jesus and his church. So you might be wondering how this Lego story ends. Katie, the Lego associate, had her work cut out for her. She didn't give up though. It was about a 30-minute conversation, but she found an Owen Grady replacement in Sweden. Not only that, but she was going to send it to me for free. What I knew was that it was going to take more than just Katie to get Owen Grady from Sweden to Oklahoma. It would take a team, and we have to do the same thing. We must harness the power of teamwork so each guest is loved. And how do people feel after they have spent time with us on a weekend? We have to ask ourselves that. Do they feel like we can meet their needs? Do they feel like they can belong? Do guests feel like we're a place they want to invest their time in? Most of us carry this burden, but it cannot be carried alone. No matter the size of church you work or volunteer for, this must be done well. Why? Caring well and loving for each guest is a form of hospitality. Now, is Crossings perfect? No. Do I miss opportunities and focus on tasks and function rather than people? Yes, but I'm driven to recruit the right people that care deeply, even as we grow. And let me tell you how we do this. My stepfather was diagnosed with cancer over a year and a half ago. Since my mom and he could no longer attend a physical worship service at their home church due to his health, they began attending Crossings Online Campus. The first week online, my mom submitted a prayer request for my stepfather's cancer treatments. Little did I know, someone from my team called her to let her know that they were praying for her. A year later, my stepfather passed away, and I drove 5 hours to be with my family. One of the first things my mom told me was that Crossings had been praying for her and she hadn't heard anything from her home church at all. Friends, this was a proud moment because unbeknownst to me, my team had done an incredible job at following through and walking alongside a hurting wife and mother, my mother. However, this was a devastating moment to find out the lack of care her home church provided. This reminds me of the Hebrew church being taught the importance of hospitality. In Hebrews 13:2, in the NIV, it says, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without even knowing it." Henry Nouwen, in the book, The Wounded Healer, writes, "It is a painful fact indeed to realize how poorly prepared most Christian leaders prove to be when they're invited to be spiritual leaders in a true sense. Most of them are used to thinking in terms of large-scale organization, getting people together in churches, schools, and hospitals, and running the show as a circus director. Caring for and loving guests can be a hard work. However, be careful that we do not become circus directors, and we avoid that through the power of teamwork. My mom's story continues with her moving out of the city she lived in for 40 plus years and moving 6 minutes away from me and my family. Why? Crossings. Our community was a catalyst. She felt loved, she felt noticed, she felt known, and that was online 5 hours away. What will the stories be when our teams care for people well? What if we recruited people to call guests who visited months ago, maybe a few times, but they haven't been back since? They could ask the families if they had any prayer requests or see if the church could do anything for them. What if we recruited volunteers to own a section of chairs in our worship rooms, deemed them section leaders, and have them love and care for people that sit in the same place each week? What if your team was available to guests certain days or times of the week for walk-ins, phone calls, Zoom, Google Meets? It's in the little things that a team does over a long period of time that guests will remember. They will turn into regular attenders, then they'll become part of your church community. Half of Crossing's first-time guests last year now are serving in groups, worshiping on a regular basis. This isn't pride speaking. This is an understanding that it takes a team. Hospitality isn't limited to a department at Crossings. It truly defines each and every one of us. Sometimes God has already assembled the team, and sometimes you have to build it. Now, the Owen Grady from Sweden sits on my desk right in front of me as a constant reminder of the remarkable hospitality shown to me. He reminds me that we must harness technology, creativity, and teamwork to steward what God gives us. And that's individual people that walk through our doors each and every week. Individual people looking to take some sort of next step with Jesus. Let's be ready to help them as they find and follow him.